Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Wow, what a fantastic, wonderful turnout. I'm excited that you guys are here. Honestly, it's really nice for people to show up. Welcome to Doug Benson's I Love Movies here at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. That theme song was by Hard and Firm, a very talented pair of dudes that write songs that gnaw to the center of your brain. And that was one of them, my theme song. And they do a lot of great shows here at UCB, so check out UCB at UCB. Theater.com. And theater spelled R-E, because it's fancy. And before I bring out my guests for today, I just want to say that I'm working on a film project that you can see the cameras floating around here in the theater. Basically, the premise of the movie is, you know, Super Size Me, where that guy ate McDonald's for 30 days and filmed himself and called it a movie? Well, I am smoking pot for 30 days and filming it, and my movie's called Super High Me. You have to say hi and me far enough apart so it doesn't sound like Super High Me, which sounds like a really great Jewish fellow named High Me. So it's going to be called Super High Me, and we're really making it, and this is day 21 for me, smoking pot all day, every day, and it's going great. the podcast will start when you click on it, but you may have noticed tonight that this show was extremely punctual in its start, so I appreciate that you guys got here on time for us to start on time, and that said, I'll bring out our guest. I just want to be upfront about being super high right now because, I think it's fair. I think it's the fair way to go. I think I could have tricked you. I think I could have gotten through the entire show without you ever going, "Oh, there's something wrong with Doug." But that's because I'm usually high. All right, let's bring out my guest today on I Love Movies is the co-writer and star of Melvin Goes to Dinner, an indie movie that is awesome if you want to check it out. It's available on DVD. He's the director of the movie and TV versions of The Comedians of Comedy and the director of Super High Me. Please welcome a man who's very sick of looking at my face, Michael Blyden, everybody. Please give it up for Michael. Mikey B in the Heezy. Hey, buddy.
Hi.
So,
It seems wrong that I would be doing this with you now, suddenly. You know, the idea that I would be taking part in this and
Really?
Yeah.
That you're a guest on my podcast while directing a movie filming this podcast?
Yeah, it seems weird. It seems like it violates something.
All right.
I mean, I'll go along.
Well, you kind of blew my surprise, but at the end of the show, I was going to violate something. and now it's out in the open, so it won't be, you won't be like, hey, where'd that come from? You'll be more like, oh, I saw that coming, but I still don't like it. So don't look at my notes. That's not fair. I have notes because, you know, it's a podcast. So, you know, screw the live audience. I'm going to sit here and stare at this piece of paper. But we, one of the better live audiences in Los Angeles, which isn't, you know, we're in Los Angeles, so any live audience is really, really exciting. So thank you guys for coming. You're creeping me out a little bit.
What? Okay.
First you got the violating thing, and now you're, like, really leaning in. I guess I'm leaning in, too.
Well, yeah, because you have to.
We gotta lean into it, and yet somehow do it a manly way where it doesn't look like we're about to kiss. That's really important to me, is to not look like we're about to kiss. Movies. We're here to talk about movies. You direct them. You've been in some. What do you like? What have you seen? Have you seen anything lately? Have you been too busy making Super High Me?
I watched a couple things while we were traveling. District 13 is a French action movie, and it was great. It was great. Just great stunts, like a guy actually jumping off a building from one balcony to another. But you know he's really doing it. And it was phenomenal. Got me way more than some composited thing where you can tell that it's several layers and that it's a guy jumping onto a wrestling mat, and then they throw it in and
right.
You can tell they're doing the stunts. The stunt choreography is amazing, and the plot is so dumb but you're honestly like, yeah, get to the next running and jumping sequence.
When he jumps from one balcony to the other, does he scream "Merd"? And then it says subtitle at the bottom, "Shit."
Mm-hmm.
Neat. You're just saying that. He doesn't do it.
No, he doesn't.
So you're just... That's not... We went all...
I don't have a topper for it, for what he does say. That's a problem. It was supposed to go, you suggest that.
No, he does say "Sacre Bleu."
Right. So...
Would have been a good topper. Let me think of some more.
Yeah. What else would, have been a good one that I couldn't think of?
I'm French. J'écris en français. That's I'm yelling in French. He'd yell I'm yelling in French. J'écris en français. Did you see that guy jump from one balcony to another? Yeah, but who cares about that? He yelled "J'écris en français." That's the crazy part. What else have you seen?
There's.
I'm here with Michael Blyden, director, actor.
I did see something else. I'm blanking on.
Remember what it was?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I watched March of the Penguins and Step into Liquid. You know, just the big documentaries from last year.
Right.
I hadn't seen
the water themed.
Yeah. I watched them both on one plane ride.
Oh, wow. It would be fun to switch back and forth on the tracks and just pretend the penguins are having a happy surf holiday occasionally.
Right.
Why does it have to all be winter and despair? Mm-mm. And babies?
No, it doesn't have to be that.
Doesn't have to be that. Wow. So that's you had your own little two-film documentary fest.
Yeah, well, doing...
Which one got the Palme d'Or in your documentary festival?
I can tell you the documentary, because of what you and I are doing, you kind of, because I started working in documentaries, I started trying to watch more of them. So it's like, the best documentary on some levels has to be Grey Gardens. And it seems like kind of nerd, like such a predictable thing to say, or such a, it's either like stereotypically eclectic or, you feel like you sound like, like that guy for saying that you love
right.
that movie. You know what I'm saying? I'm self-conscious about it, but I really do love it. I feel like it's like Cassavetes too. I'm not a student of film, so then suddenly you start being into the things that film students are supposed to learn about, and then you like them, and you it sounds lame, but it's true.
Yeah, I couldn't follow any of it, but but I heard Cassavetes in there. That one always throws me for a loop.
Do you ever watch it?
Because I've seen a lot of Cassavetes, and I don't particularly get it. I mean, maybe I should watch even more now, because it seems like he was just way ahead of his time. that a lot of things have kind of come along. Like reality TV is almost like what his movies were like, right? I mean, you know, with the handheld cameras and the you know, kind of like soapy plot lines.
It's hard to say, because I'm not. I'm not one. I'm not that good at criticism, to be honest. And I
just love everything.
I did when I was in high school. I loved everything. I remember saying that to friends, like, I have no critical faculties. I love every movie. I would just always have
to
see it.
Why couldn't we talk about this before you decided came on to direct this movie that I'm?
Well, then
getting,
you know,
so high for.
I did develop it, but
that'd be great. Anytime you sit down with somebody, I have no taste in. I have no opinions about movies. I think they're great. As long as shit's moving around, I'm happy. If things get very still, I'm upset. You're looking at me like you're filming the scene.
I can't get out of that mode where I just am, you know, I want to hear the thing that you're going to say. And it's such a process.
Wow.
Being a, you know, directing a documentary with you is so much about, you know, it's so much about, like, suppressing your own ego in the moment and just becoming a watcher. You're just a witness to everything. And so you cease to, you're not trying to express yourself in the life that you're experiencing. So you just let everyone else talk most of the time. And then sometimes your ego sort of overcompensates when you know, like when you're then alone, you talk too much.
Well, you know how, it's funny you should mention that, because you know how when we interview people and about medical marijuana,
I see where
and such
this is
things,
going. That's
what their answers are like.
Yeah,
very long and very dangerously close to not getting to a point. But you made it though.
Yeah,
you got there.
I had a thesis.
You got there. You worked it through.
I had a thesis for it.
You made it happen. But that's what we've been listening to a lot. We've been talking to a lot of people involved in the marijuana cause.
And it's maddening. Yeah. It's maddening to sit there and listen to them. It's just maddening. I can't.
We met the dude that inspired the dude in Big Lebowski today, and I couldn't figure out a way to ask him it. I wanted to just kind of imply, you know, but the thing they didn't base on you was that Jeff Bridges didn't talk constantly and never let anyone else speak.
I mean,
like that's the attribute that the Coen brothers went, we don't need to put that in there. We can make him really awesome. And the guy was really super nice, but really
and so knowledgeable.
Really enjoyed talking and quite knowledgeable. Yeah,
and quite knowledgeable.
Like, here's all the knowledge I have.
And the problem was that in the coverage, Brandon had Jeff Dowd and I had you. So for an hour and a half, I was just filming this.
Yeah, me just listening, and occasionally going, "You're the dude."
Yeah.
No, I. There's really hardly anything more sobering than listening to him talk.
And there's been hundreds of hours of it, hundreds of hours of just witnessing just tedium. You know, I mean, it's such a weird thing, and yet I haven't really gotten that impatient with it. It's only in reflecting about it.
No, you're good. You're good at it. You're certainly more patient with them than I am. I just kind of get, you know, I'm just like, because oftentimes some of these speeches just end with somebody lighting up a joint, and I'm just like, get to the ceremonial part, past the talking part, which we can't do here. This has to be all talking.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. Let's talk about some more movies. But that was awesome. Whatever it was you were just talking about. So movies that have kind of been out lately, you haven't been out to the theater because you've been too busy.
I haven't been out to the theater. The only movie I saw with you, it was with you, was Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, we saw Snakes on a Plane together, which was like, people like to say that, oh, you didn't like Snakes on the Plane because you went in with the wrong attitude. Don't you think we totally went in with a winning attitude? Like we were there for all the right reasons.
We were on break. Like, we were taking a little break for ourselves, which we don't often do.
Right.
We're laughing because we got to walk through the casino into the movie theater for free.
Right. We were in Tahoe at the time, so the movie you walk through a casino to get to the movie theater.
Got a huge tub of popcorn, sodas, and there was me, you, and Alan Havey. Like, could have gagged around the whole movie.
You know what I don't like though? I don't like reaching in to popcorn that's on a dude's lap. I just, the whole time, I'm like, Mickey Rourke, Mickey Rourke, Mickey Rourke, and, or what I should have said, Diner, Diner, Diner. Either, no, neither.
I got him,
you,
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah.
You're good. Okay. I expected, like, applause or something on that one. Thank you very much. Thanks. But, yeah, I can't do that. I can't reach into the popcorn on the dude's lap. I mean, I did it with you because I felt like, you know, I don't know, something about you. I didn't think you were going to stick your dick through the bottom of the tub.
There's just something about
maybe,
you.
Maybe, you know what, a clue that the dick is going to be in there is when they ask for it buttered. Because in that way, as long as she's grabbed your dick, it's like, it's, you know, it's lubed
say
up.
Say your new joke.
Let's
say
do
your
this.
New joke.
Oh, my new joke.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sort of gives it away a little bit, what yeah. I was just saying. But I like that Purell stuff that you put on your hands, that hand sanitizer, right? Is that how it goes?
I thought you were going to start it with, sometimes I.
Oh, right. Sometimes I like to put on that Purell hand sanitizer, right? Like that?
No, it wasn't quite.
Sometimes, how's it go?
Sometimes I masturbate with Purell hand.
Oh, that's it. That's yeah. it. That's the key word, masturbate. Sometimes I masturbate with Purell hand sanitizer because...
you want me to give you the punchline?
No, I know what it is. I just want to say it right. Sometimes I masturbate with Purell because...
Especially.
Shit, that's yeah. it.
That was the key word, was the intensifier. Yes,
some days when I come home, I masturbate using Purell, especially on days when my dick shook a lot of hands. Oh, that's so stupid. I'm going to have so much fun. That's like... I could tell, you know, all of my other jokes can just be old and boring, and I don't give a shit. Just knowing I'm going to say that at some point during a set is going to make me so happy on stage for the next few weeks. I got to fucking learn it, though. Jesus. That was bizarre.
Yeah, you have to.
Masturbate. Purell. Like, you had to give me everything. All I had was that I wrote a joke today. I wrote another joke recently. Oh, we were in San Francisco over the weekend. That inspired me to write a joke. This guy has this talking dog, right? And this other guy is like, I don't believe that's a talking dog. And he says, well, I'll ask him some questions. And the guy goes, okay, dog. Who's the greatest baseball player ever lived? Roof! What's the thing on top of a house? Roof! Name a tourist attraction in San Francisco. Wharf! Be more specific. Fisherman's Wharf. I wanted to do that joke all weekend in San Francisco, and I get chickened out every time.
Oh, that's a great joke.
Because I was just like, that is so fucking retarded.
That's a great joke.
That is worthless.
That's such a surprise. You're just so your process as you're going through it is at first you're like, oh, this is, I'm so psyched this joke's happening right now. It's such a great joke. He's teaching the dog. You know it's going to be funny. Then the second roof, you're like, oh, maybe I totally misjudged it. Maybe it's really not funny at all. Maybe it's something that's going to be really predictable, and now I'm up here and I have to respond to it. And then...
Which most people, thank God, don't have to think that process through. I'm up here and that's I have to respond
nope,
to it.
That's what everyone goes through. That's everyone's
process.
I'm in
this chair. I have to respond to it. I have to be quiet or laugh.
I'm ready to move on.
All right. That was good, though. You really went the distance.
But then it goes
one.
Somewhere else.
What about that movie, Science of Sleep? It's been out for a few weeks now.
Well, I'll tell you something. I didn't like Death Cab for Cutie until I heard that song in that trailer, and then I liked them.
You like them all across the board.
Well,
everything
I just,
they do because of that one.
No,
song,
I just I just felt like on some level they represented something that I just emotionally didn't understand, and then their music played in that trailer, and then I thought, oh, I'm open to them. I still haven't bought an album, but it's that imagery is so innocent and so sweet, and all I've seen is the trailer, and yeah, that looks pretty phenomenal.
The movie?
Yeah.
All right. It's pretty awesome that you're like, it looks phenomenal.
It does. It does.
When do you think you're going to see it?
Right away.
DVD?
As soon as it comes out.
It's already out.
Oh.
I was toying with seeing it while we were in San Francisco, but yeah, looks like an interesting movie.
Oh, and interestingly cast, that woman is like so cute, and she's so not, you know, she's
Gail Burnell.
Yeah,
Garcia.
Yeah,
he is cute. I got so many things I want to get into with you. Putting my phone on vibrate, because that'll be rude if it rings.
Fisherman's Wharf.
Easily distracted. Fisherman's.
Can I tell you it's great? Can I tell you something else I like about that joke? I'm not even sure why it's funny. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell you what the joke is. I can't tell you what it's lampooning, or, you know, or that anyone's made a mistake and that I'm laughing at that. I don't even know what's funny about it.
Well, I'll tell you, the genesis is just, I think the word wharf is funny because it sounds like a dog barking to me. and then I thought of that old joke where the guy goes through and says, originally the joke goes like this. What's on top of the house? Roof. Who's the greatest baseball player? Roof. And then the guy's like, this dog can't talk. Fuck you. I mean, not in the old version, but I threw that in. And he leaves. I thought the guy needed to be madder about it instead of just leaving. Fuck you. That dog doesn't talk. You fucking asshole. And then he leaves. Like, he really lays into him. And then he leaves, and the dog looks at the owner and goes, should I have sent DiMaggio?
Yeah.
So I basically just stole that joke.
Yeah, but...
but added my own, now it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Except for, you know what's funny about it? Here's what's funny about it. Is that even though he talks English, you find out he does talk still like a dog would bark.
Right. Yeah. It's not one of those talking dog movies where they have a man, a dude voice.
Like, it's not Charles Grodin's voice.
Yeah. No, it's not. Was he the voice of... oh, in Dr. Doolittle? One or two?
Beethoven?
Was
he the voice?
No, he was just the disgruntled dad of the family who didn't like Beethoven. But learned to love him always.
I thought
all,
you were...
all over again. Beethoven 5. I hate you, Beethoven. Oh, you saved my children. Thank you, Beethoven. That's a pretty good Grodin, like, without rehearsing. You saved my children. Thank you, Beethoven. I don't know. Now he's sounding really Jewish, which he kind of does. So Entertainment Weekly recently named the 50 best high school movies of all time. You have a guess, Michael Blyden, what would be number one?
Breakfast Club. Or 16 Candles.
Breakfast Club is number one. 16 Candles, 49.
Huh.
Yeah, he improved that much as a filmmaker. In between the two. Somebody took him aside after 16 Candles and said, boing. No. You don't need to do that after something funny happens. You don't have to hit a gong when an Asian guy walks in. Just be honest and tell the story of the kids. Then he fucking made The Breakfast Club number one.
I love Breakfast
of
Club.
The 50 best high school movies of all time. Yeah, it is really good.
Did you love it?
I did like it. But then again, number two, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Which is appropriate, because that movie is the shit. It's number two. Dazed and Confused is number three. I like that movie a lot, but you know what that movie reminds me of?
Mm.
If Altman made a movie about hazing and pot.
That's very
he's true. One of the few people that could do it, because that's the weird thing to me about Dazed and Confused, is that there's a bunch of like hippie pot smoker happy people, and then these aggressive people that fucking paddle the shit out of little kids. And yet, those guys smoke pot, too. So it's like, there's no good pot message there.
Right.
It's just like, actually, there is. If you can smoke pot, you can be anything. You could be nice or a dick. Everything's wide open to you.
There's one thing I love about Daisy. I try and learn lessons from things that I think that I would fuck up or mess up emotionally. And, they couldn't get the rights to the song Dazed and Confused.
Right.
You know, and that I feel like if I were in that situation where I'd written this movie, fallen in love with the title, made the movie, and then someone said, the rights to the song are too much, I would be crushed. I would be crushed, and I'd be like, you know, just despondent over it. And their response was, oh, we can still call the movie that, which they can. Legally, you can call, you know, a song title isn't copyrightable.
Right.
So they can call the movie that. And the song isn't in there, and it still works. It's the title is still evocative of what they wanted it to be. And I love that they did that. I don't know if I would have thought to be like, oh, well, we'll just call it that and we don't need to have the song in it.
Pick one of these. That's what I am right now.
I'm
28 dazed and confused.
You're confused.
Who was that song by? Aerosmith?
Seriously?
Who is it?
It's a Led Zeppelin song.
Oh, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So that's why I said Aerosmith is because why not just get an Aerosmith song?
And
call the movie Sweet Emotion. Any song title would really be a good Taking Care of Business. Fly Like an Eagle. And then in parentheses, To the Sea. How are we doing on time? Oh, shit. Here. You know how to play Leonard Maltin, right?
Yeah,
you see me play it?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Pick one out to read to me while I finish up the Entertainment Weekly. These are the 50 best high school movies. I'm only going to name the top five. Number four is Rebel Without a Cause. Overrated, if you ask me. Number four, best high school movie? When I was watching it, I screamed, "You're boring me apart." It's kind of a twist on the line, he says. Okay, we're ready to play Leonard Maltin. You have one?
Yeah, I have an interesting one.
All right, don't let me look. Don't let me see it.
Just so I'm clear, the cast, it doesn't start at the bottom of the
paragraph.
Yeah, let's clear
it for you and the listeners.
I'm going to read the cast in order of billing backwards.
From the bottom. Start with the year. You tell me what year.
Okay, but the cast...
He's randomly chosen a movie in Leonard Maltin's book of movie titles.
And so the way these things go is he lists the cast and then does the synopsis. So I don't... The cast is...
We don't mess with the synopsis. You just start reading the cast from the bottom.
You ready to do it?
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks for bringing up the synopsis.
1997.
Okay.
Miguel Ferrer.
Oh. I got some ideas. Keep going.
Malcolm McDowell. Whoa. This is an interesting one.
I'll say. Give me some more.
Jennifer Garner.
What?
Yeah. It takes a strange turn there.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, and it's going to do another one.
Okay, bring me another
turn. Ernie Hudson.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Never thought those two have ever met. Jennifer and Ernie.
Now this is your wild card. Could be anything.
Okay.
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah.
Could be
ever narrowed.
Could be any movie
ever in the history of anything.
Right.
Oh, I think I got an idea though.
Okay, hit me with it.
No, I don't give it out until I'm sure it's the right one.
Okay. Nick Chinland.
Fucking Chinland was in this thing. Oh, Chinland. Damn it. I know that name is like really... Chinlin works a lot. It's hard to narrow it down. Keep going.
Matt Kiesler. I don't know Matt Kiesler.
Having trouble breathing. Okay, keep going.
You're getting near the top now.
All right. Well, just don't give away the last one or two names.
Well, I'm down to the last two.
Away.
I'm down to the last two names.
Whoa, you're down to the last two. All right.
You want me to recap?
Give me from the bottom, yeah.
Okay.
Recap it.
Miguel Ferrer.
Uh-huh.
Malcolm McDowell, Jennifer Garner, Ernie Hudson, Stephen Tobolowsky, Nick Chinlin, Matt Kiesler.
Yeah, I still don't know what it is. Give me one more name.
Kelly Lynch.
That's supposed to give it away?
And one more. There's only one more.
I know, but Kelly Lynch should have given it away, right?
Yeah.
The fuck is Kelly Lynch in? What's the last name?
Leslie Nielsen.
One of those spoof things? Leslie Nielsen. Which one is it?
What movie? Mr. Magoo?
Oh. Oh, man.
That's a funny choice, right?
That's a great one. I don't even feel bad about getting stumped by that one. Because I never saw Mr. Magoo.
I mean, I picked it because I felt like... I remember when it was being advertised, but I knew that no one would see it. But it was in the popular consciousness at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's do
time.
You. Do you have time to do on one more? Because I'm bad at it. I'd say we stop or do you for
let's
one
do
more.
One more. Yeah, do okay. One more. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
You got another one ready to go?
Mr. Magoo. Do you have one new joke that you told
Mr.
recently?
Magoo.
Do you have any new jokes? I can pick one out quickly.
It looks like they're going to let you take fluids on the planes. You can walk on the planes again now. Which wasn't it wasn't a problem for me because I love flying with a shampoo bottle in my ass. So it was no big deal, really. Kind of disappointed they changed it. Because I had a shampoo bottle in my ass and it was exciting. You know what I mean? I was smuggling and snuggling. I was anus snuggling.
I just want to see how quickly you get something.
It'll be fun because we're out of time anyway.
Yeah. This is just something to try.
This one might run under the end credits.
Not normally how you play the game.
Okay.
1977.
Uh-huh.
Bottom of the list name, Fran Drescher.
Airport 77?
Mm-mm.
Spinal Tap?
Mm-mm.
Okay, keep going.
Robert Costanza.
Oh, that fucking guy. Okay, go.
Denny Dillon.
Why do you say it like that?
Because I think you're...
Is there a clue in that?
No.
Denny Dillon.
I've, it was like I'm already going on to the next one.
Because I've never said Denny Dillon's name in a way that would sound like I like her or I'm happy about saying her name.
I
always say it like that, Denny Dillon.
Like, you know, you want me to say the next thing?
No.
That's not that interesting?
No, her name just... She bothers me.
I don't recognize any of the names except for the last one. That's why. The first and the last are the only ones I recognize.
What was the first one again?
Fran Drescher. She's the least famous person in this movie.
At that time. That's why I said Spinal Tap.
I should blow through a few names.
Okay.
Robert Costanza, Denny Dillon, Julie Bovasso, Donna Pescau.
Sounds very Italian.
Yeah.
It's getting very Italian, whatever it is.
Paul Pape.
Pape?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Joseph Calley.
How do you feel about what the Pape said about the Muslims? Who?
They're talking about just Barry Pape was talking about them.
Yeah.
And they call him the Pape.
You know
they call him that.
All right, keep going.
Joseph Calley, Barry Miller.
Yeah.
Lynn Gorney. This is going to be worth it.
It's fucking Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, Saturday Night Fever.
There you go.
I just thought that was interesting. You have
no applause for that?
Yeah.
Did you guys know it? All right, of course you did. There was a lot of names.
At the bottom of that.
Fran Drescher had a little thing in that, I guess. She was girl who got raped number two or something. Because that movie's awful. I mean, it's weird. It's weird that it has this disco music, but then it's got, you know...
No, it's a heavy...
It's got... Yeah, it's bad.
It's a heavy.
I mean, it's good. I wanted to talk to you about directing the Fiona Apple video... Quickly before we go, what's it like kissing Zach Galifianakis? We actually have to go, but that'd be another thing to talk about if we do this again sometime. Thank you very much, Michael Blyden, for being on the show, and thank you guys for hanging out. Till next time, this is Doug Benson saying, "Pass me the raisinets. I need something to throw." Did I write that?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.